House Committee on Rules come to order. It's Monday, May 6, 2013. I'm going to open a hearing on H.R. 5. Representative Kenny Geyer has been waiting patiently.
And Mr. Chair, member of the committee, H.R. 5 honors FAME Academy for contributions to the state.
Hello, Mr. Chair, esteemed committee member.
And here's another one.
Members. For the record, my name is Alyssa Kenny Geyer. I represent House District 46, which is parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland. I was taking notes on this, and now I'm trying to find my paper. Here it is. This House resolution has to do with FAME Academy, and I don't know if any of you have seen this group, but it's a group based in Portland of people with disabilities and their families. It started in 1984, so nearly 30 years ago. And it's an incredible troop of adults from all ages. One of them is a young 21-year-old who was in school, grew up in school with my children, Cristal Figueroa, fabulous kid. And they do performances all over the Portland metro area. They may do it in other parts of the state as well. If they don't, I hope they do in the future. And they expose the over 10,000 people a year through their performances to the abilities that people with developmental and other disabilities have, and really, you know, have people see them, because so often you really just don't see people with developmental disabilities. And they do musicals. They're doing Grease right now. They do all kinds of plays, monologues, really an incredible performance. So there are over 100 that are a part of this every year. They are, because they're turning 30 next year, I wanted to do a resolution. They're coming down on May 10th, so I will introduce them on the floor of the House, and they are also having a conference at noon in the rotunda. Next year could have been a time I would do a resolution, but with only possibly two bills, doesn't make sense to use one of them at that point. And also I think that they can use the fact that they got a resolution along with the award that the City of Portland gave them for making a difference in award in 2011. They can use some of this, the resolution, for publicity in their 30th year anniversary. So it's a fabulous group, and I hope you support this resolution. Open to any questions.
Thank you for bringing it. Any questions? I think we're ready to go. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on H.R. 5, and we can't move anything yet, so I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 11. Representatives Hannah.
Just Hannah.
Representative Hannah, please.
And members of the committee, SCR 11 honors Sid Lykin.
Good afternoon, colleagues. For the record, my name is Bruce Hannah. I'm a state representative from House District 7, which represents vast parts of rural Douglas and Lane counties. I appreciate your consideration today of SCR 11 and the ability for myself and you to take a moment to talk about its honoree, Sid Lykin. If the name sounds familiar to you, it is because his grandson is Sid Lykin, a county commissioner in Lane County. Sid Lykin, otherwise referred to commonly around the Douglas County area as Grandpa Lykin, truly embodied the spirit of Douglas County. He worked in the timber industry. He put hard labor and long hours into the core of our local economy. He started and grew a successful business and employed hundreds of area residents. He helped start a community bank, which went on to ensure that many small businesses had access to capital and to start their own dreams in that area. He then took his passion to Salem, representing his constituents and all Oregonians with distinction throughout much of the 1960s. Every day when I leave my home in Roseburg, Oregon, and see the Umpqua Community College campus, I know that that is one of the fruits of his labor. He served in the Ways and Means process during his legislative cycle, and he helped secure school funding for Umpqua Community College, and it was a great accomplishment. I could tell you about all of Grandpa Lykin's accomplishments and contributions around Douglas County, but it would take far too long. What I want you to understand and what I want to relay to you and to the public is that his service in our region, and indeed the entire state, is enormous and much appreciated. Grandpa Lykin's memory and legacy has been and will be cherished, and I'm proud to support SCR 11, and I'm grateful for your committee's consideration of it today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? All right. Thank you. close the public hearing on SCR 11. Open a public hearing on HR 4, Representative Escobar.
And members of the committee, HR 4 honors Jackson County Sheriff August Singler on the 100th anniversary of his death.
Thank you for hearing this today. For the record, my name is Sal Escobar, Representative District 6, Medford. This individual was the only individual in the history of Jackson County to lose his life as a sheriff in the line of duty. He was only elected for a period of 4 months. He went to serve a warrant, and as he's standing in the door, the individual shot and killed him right where he stood. So he is the great-grandfather, I believe, of Jack Walker, who was one of our former county commissioners, and Chris Walker, who is currently our county clerk. Been a long-time resident in the Valley, and they've been very instrumental and very publicly orientated in what they do as a family as a whole. So we wanted to get this on the record.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Any questions for Representative Escobar? Thank you very much.
Which one were we? We just did 4. We did 5 already.
I think we're just going to move them all at the end. Close the public hearing on HR 4. I'll open a public hearing on HCR 31, Representative Conger.
And members of the committee, HCR 31 honors Ashton Eaton for outstanding achievements.
Chair Garrett, esteemed colleagues, members of the Rules Committee, I'm Jason Conger, representing House District 54, which is the city of Bend, basically, and really appreciate your time and the opportunity for you to consider House Concurrent Resolution 31. So before I begin with my testimony, if the video is ready, we'll show you a little video of Ashton. Well, while she's getting ready, I'll just give you a little bit of background. Ashton Eaton is a young man who graduated from Mountain View High School. He was a standout athlete in track and football at Mountain View. Mountain View is one of three high schools in the city of Bend. And he's an Oregon native. He's lived in Bend and previously in Lapine as well. He graduated from the University of Oregon in 2010 as a five-time NCAA champion in the decathlon and heptathlon. I don't know how many of you have attempted either one, but my understanding is it's very difficult. I myself wouldn't even attempt it, I think. By the time, after graduating, between in his college career and afterwards, he set multiple world records, and the one that I liked the best was in the heptathlon, which he then proceeded to break his own world record in 2011. Then he did it again in 2012. So he has set, broke, and broke the record for the heptathlon.
Sorry, the chair being back.
Removed by your
okay.
Testimony,
it's
Representative.
It's a bad sign. I mean,
pole vault just missed the box.
That's the sound of me attempting that heptathlon.
You know when you don't have, you don't hit the pad on the other side. Ashton went on to win, as many of you know, a gold medal in 2012 in London at the Olympics, and that was in the decathlon. And because the decathlon is so extraordinarily demanding, he is now regarded by many as the greatest athlete in the world. I think rightfully so. He is truly an incredible athlete, as you will see shortly when we get the video. And running. But part of the reason that I think HCR 31 is important is he's an unusual athlete, but if you talk to people who know him, to students, to teachers, to coaches who've interacted with Ashton over time and have seen him not only in his role as an athlete and a competitor, but also in his role as a human being. What it impresses me at least equally with his unusual athleticism is his character. He is a young man, but he has lived a life of incredible discipline and persistence. He has dedicated himself to hard work to refine his athletic abilities over the period of years. Now, when I was his age, I'm not sure what I was doing, but I don't think I was working that hard, and I certainly wasn't that disciplined, and I don't think I could claim even today to be that persistent. And of course, I don't have that much talent, but setting it aside for the moment. The bottom line is I think he is a role model for young people in the state of Oregon, and there's a lot of pressure on especially high school age students. We all know that. There's a lot of bad news, I guess, a lot of dark things that intrude on their lives, and you know, there's certainly a lot of bad statistics we could cite about that age group of young Oregonians. And I think it's fantastic, and this is an opportunity for us to embrace something good, something that can give them hope. And it is someone who has set an example through his own achievement and also his own character, that with those characteristics, with that hard work, that discipline, the persistence, that it is possible for young people, even in rural Oregon, to achieve extraordinary things. So, again, I appreciate your time on HCR 31. I'm totally stalling now.
You're doing a great job of running out.
You're doing column. Good. You must get paid by the hour.
Yes. Well, attorneys, that's the first class I took in law school.
The filibuster.
Extend a sentence to twice its normal length, mm-hmm. so you can bill twice as much. I think he is inspirational. He is young and very, very talented. But he is also a native Oregonian, someone who comes from a small town in a small high school and is now the greatest athlete in the world. And as we look ahead to our future generations, I'm excited to have the opportunity to hold him up as an example to them. And again, would love your consideration of this House Concurrent Resolution 31.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Representative Holby.
A question?
You have a question? We have
Nobody
time.
Nobody else got a question. Tough
you
crowd.
Can stump me to help. Representative, did you watch him in the, or get a chance to watch him in Eugene at the trials?
Personally, no. I've seen some video of him in the trials.
Impressive at the trials.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yes. He is an impressive young man. He is a unbelievably fast sprinter.
You'd think. A couple of those sprints. Do you know what the time was of the 1500 that he ran?
The 1500? No. I'm not sure I saw a video of that. I saw, maybe I did. No, that was when he was doing the heptathlon, actually. So, no.
I saw it. I just couldn't remember.
How many events in the heptathlon have you successfully completed, Representative?
Completed or tried to complete?
Yeah, completed.
I'm not sure I can qualify for even one, unless you count walking. If there's no time limit,
yeah,
then I'm sure I've done...
There is a walking component in between each of the events.
Thank you, Representative. I have.
I may be competitive.
In between events portion.
Maybe we should move on to the next bill and come back here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, if the video's not going to work.
It may be a few more minutes before we have help, so excuse
no
you, and we'll try and move on with our business, and if we have a chance to view it, we will.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Members.
We'll close the public hearing on HCR 31. 7-8.
Yes.
Okay, we'll open the public hearing on SCR 7 and SCR 8 and call Representative Frederick, please.
Yes.
A
Hello, Chair Garrett and members of the committee. I do not have a video, so this should work pretty well for a little bit. I'm Representative Lou Frederick. I represent House District 43, that's north and northeast Portland. And this is for SCR 7. First of all, let me just say it's really hard for me to speak briefly about Charles Jordan. He was a mentor, is a mentor, a guiding light, an example, and he's a very good example. Others can tell you about Charles's accomplishments. There's a couple of letters I think you have. I have one story no one else can probably tell. Charles Jordan, I used to invite people to my house. I invited Charles Jordan to my house to visit with a group of fifth graders as part of a program I went on that I did for about 5 years. You may know that Charles is tall. He's about 6'8", I believe. He's an awesome figure when he walks through the door, especially to a 10-year-old. But he wasn't there to tell them about basketball. In fact, he turned down the NBA twice, because he had other priorities. He talked to those young people about what he was working on, what he believed in, what was important to him as an adult in the community, and he listened to them intently. It was an impressive interaction, full of mutual respect, where both found the other interesting. That's the kind of human being Charles is, professionally, personally, and with those he's just met. And this humanity is shown throughout in his leadership in city government, but also, and it's not widely acknowledged about this, here at home and nationally and internationally, he's a leader in the field of environmental stewardship. So while honors such as this one are generally about accomplishments, the more visible manifestations of brilliance, when I think of Charles Jordan, I think of the genius of the humanity at his core. I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to look up to him. Most people do look up to him, generally. I'm honored, really, to call him a friend of mine. I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Any questions? No? Don't want to drag things out? Representative Holby, a little bit, just to help? No? No? Okay. That's all right.
Thank you, and you can go ahead
right into the
next one.
Talking about someone else. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. this person is no longer with us. Do I need to reintroduce myself? Or
yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay. Chair Garrett, I am, and members of the committee, I'm Representative Lou Frederick, House District 43, North and Northeast Portland.
Now we're on SCR 8, just for
the SCR 8.
All right.
Others will probably tell you about the shock we all felt when Rob Ingram left us far too soon. I want to focus on the awe that I continue to feel about what he managed to accomplish during his short life. It's fitting that we're considering these two resolutions on the same day. Charles Jordan and Rob Ingram shared a genius for connecting with people, and both of them used that talent to make the world a better place. Where others complained about disconnected youth, Rob made connections. Somehow he caused young people, particularly young black men, to care about almost as much about their futures as he did, because he actually did. Somehow he helped police officers and city officials see the potential in young people seeking a place to belong. And I'm afraid that such ability is more art than science, more talent than training, more intuition than calculation. But along with his talent, he applied tireless work and a huge heart. We lost a connector when that heart stopped. Rob accomplished a lot in his short life, but I sometimes pause to imagine how he would have been honored after several more of the decades he was ready to give us. His impact will indeed carry on in the young people whose lives he enriched, all those who loved him, and all of us who continue to be inspired by his life. He was an amazing man, and I wish you had all gotten a chance to meet him. You would have enjoyed him. You would have been pleased. I think you did. Representative Dembro,
yeah.
And a few other folks managed to get a chance to meet him. He was really quite a character, and he could handle himself in every environment that you can possibly imagine, and he did very well. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak about my friends, both of them, here today. Thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing more about them on the House floor. Any questions or comments? All right. Close the public hearing on SCR 7 and SCR 8. And okay, we'll open a public hearing on SCR 12. I don't have a list.
Grab it here in a second. Members of the committee, SCR 12 honors Tom Whalen. It's going to be.
I don't know. Just a moment. We'll start with Tim Burr and Chuck Tomlin. Is Chuck around? I guess he left the room. We'll just start with Tim, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tim Burr. I reside at 12070 Southwest Fisher Road in Tigard, and I am honored to speak here briefly today in the memory of Tom Whalen. Tom, for those of you who did not know him, was someone whose entire life was pretty much based on public service and public safety. It was a rich legacy that he inherited from his father, who'd served the state of Oregon and the city of Portland in many, many ways over the years. Tom and I were both retired firefighters when we first really became acquainted, and one of my great regrets is that while Tom and I had both been firefighters during the same period of time, we really didn't know each other that well. Tom was with the Salem Fire Department, where he rose to the rank of captain. I had worked at Eugene Fire and then later Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. In January of 2005, Tom called me out of the blue, and I had worked in the early 1980s on a couple of failed attempts to pass fire safe cigarette legislation. And Tom, being typically Tom, was honest enough to say, you know, I laughed at you when you were doing that. He said, a cigarette that goes out. He said, what the heck good is that? But in the meantime, he had done his own research, reached his own conclusions, and come around to where it was something that he strongly believed in. That phone call was the beginning of what was probably one of the most amazing 3 years of my life, as it took us two sessions to get through. And to understand why those 3 years were amazing, I'd have to speak briefly about the man. In becoming a firefighter, Tom may have chosen a profession that many would consider to be blue-collar, but there was nothing pedestrian about Tom's curiosity, his intellect, his thinking. He was a voracious reader and was very erudite on all manner of subjects. And one of the things, some of the most interesting conversations I have ever been involved in were those that we would have when we would drive down to Salem to come down here and advocate for the legislation. One day it might be about the impact of steam power on the Industrial Revolution. The next it might be about why certain varieties of kumquats grow better in Mediterranean climates. But there were very few things that Tom was not capable of conversing on, and with accuracy and truth. Tom did not need to be involved in this legislative effort at the time that we initiated it. He was retired. He was dealing with the illness that would eventually take his life, and he had nothing to gain materially from the effort. Indeed, Tom spent significant amounts of his own money on gas, mileage, cell phone, photocopying testimony, and whatnot. It was a true labor of love. It was something that he believed in, and it was something that he had an amazing amount of passion about. Eventually, it took us two sessions. We managed to get the legislation passed in 2007. We were the ninth state in the union to accomplish that. And as I sit here today, identical bills were eventually passed in all 50 states. The statistics in Oregon show that the legislation has been successful. While we still face challenges in cigarettes igniting fires outdoors and things like barker mulch and planter boxes and those kinds of things, the number of interior structural fires and fatalities has definitely gone down. We also face a challenge with people who continue to smoke while on medical oxygen, which is another issue. But the fact of the matter is that today, as I sit here before you, I am comforted to know that even in his death, Tom Whalen continues to save lives and property in the state of Oregon. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Tomlin.
Thank you, Chair Garrett and members of the committee. My name is Chuck Tomlin. I'm a lawyer in Portland. I'm also the president of the Tobacco-Free Coalition of Oregon, but I'm really here to, as a friend of Tom Whalen, Tim Burr, who you've heard from, and Tom and I had a very successful partnership, and all the more so because we were able to pass an important piece of legislation. But I remember back in some of the dark days when it was very difficult to pass the legislation in the 2005 session, and Tom came up to testify, much as we are testifying here today. I believe it was in the Senate because the bill did not receive a hearing in the House, passed the Senate. The Speaker of the House then prohibited the bill from a hearing, and so there it stopped. And Tom sat much the way we're sitting here today and looked at his colleagues, former colleagues, as Tom had served some 8 years previous to that. And he said something that I've remembered to this day. He said, you know, we sit here and we rearrange the cards and redeal the cards and allocate resources, and we listen to lobby groups, and we try to listen to our constituents. But it's very, very infrequent that we sit here and look at a bill that will actually save lives. And this is something that I've remembered, because this is a bill that at the time it was passed, we knew it would save lives. And in fact, the statistics have proved that it has saved lives. And this was Tom Whalen's legacy, as far as I'm concerned. He was a person who cared about others, people who he didn't even know. I've said before that we had three things in common. When I first started law practice, I represented the Firefighters Union and the Salem Firefighters that he was an officer of. We also had shared a mutual respect for the gentleman sitting to my left, Tim Burr, and of course Lori Wimmer, who's, at least in Tom's case, that respect turned into a marriage. And the third thing was our partnership in the Fire Safe cigarette. It was really my honor to know Tom and my honor to work with Tom and to achieve something very important. But it really is the legislators, the people sitting in your seats, that deserve all of the credit and really deserve to celebrate, because by their vote, by passing a bill in 2007, they save lives, and they save lives every single day, every single week, and every single year. So I'd like to thank you and your predecessors for wisely voting for this bill, but I really want to use this day to remember Tom Whalen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, thank you both. We have two other witnesses, Bob Livingston and Lori Wimmer, please.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Livingston. I represent the Oregon State Firefighters Council. And I also may have the unique privilege of not only counting Tom Whalen as a friend, I also had the privilege of actually working with him early in my career. Tom was actually one of my company officers that I worked under, and there's a unique bond that you have as a firefighter, that especially in a dangerous atmosphere when a lot of people are running away, you're running into something that's in danger. And Tom was really one of those special people, not only in noting of what Tim Burr said, passing of the Fire Safe cigarettes. I would characterize Representative Whalen and Tom Whalen as really a renaissance man, particularly in the fire service. One of the things that makes me most proud to be a firefighter is the fact that our own members throughout the United States and Canada spend our own money, and through our own passage of legislation, passage of our constitution and bylaws, it almost always passes unanimously that we basically charge ourselves to advocate for safety and new technology in the fire service for such things as the Redmond Symposium and all that. While there's other unions that do that, I think we may be a leader that has an entire department of 300,000 men and women of the IAFF that actually advocate for safety issues, whether it's fire safe cigarettes, whether it's new and improved technologies in SCBA, whether it's physicals for firefighters. And Tom was one of those people that was really, why he's a renaissance man, is he was on the cutting edge in the front lines of doing that. It's fairly common now for all of those practices, but I remember early in my career, Tom was really ahead of his time. He He would have people come over to his garage and measure their VO2 uptake, which is their oxygen uptake, to measure to see if they were at greater risk for a heart attack for firefighters. He was an advocate for better turnout clothing and protective clothing. He was an advocate for better response times here in the city of Salem as it relates to, you know, protecting our citizens better. So while Tom was unfortunately left this world way too early in his career, the mark that he's left not only in this building, but particularly for firefighters, is going to be one that will be remembered forever. And I would just close that, you know, I feel proud and honored that Tom was at the top of his game as far as a long list of firefighters that I'm proud of, whether it was before him, Representative Lindquist, certainly Randy Leonard, Tom Whalen, and now our very own Greg Matthews, of firefighters that are willing, just like you, to, you know, serve the citizens of Oregon. And I want to thank you all for that, and certainly want to thank you for consideration of this honor for my good friend and a true mentor of mine, Tom Whalen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lori. Good afternoon, committee members. For your record, I am Lori Wimmer, and it's my privilege to represent Tom Whalen's family today as you contemplate SCR 12, if I can. His father, Ed, sends his gratitude for this honor. He couldn't be here today. Before I begin, I must admit that Tom would hate the attention. He was not one for making a fuss, but I have to say, if he's listening, suck it up. There are a lot of people who loved him and who wanted to have a moment to remember him. SCR 12 is an important gesture in the eyes of Tom's family because it memorializes a man who literally grew up in this building. His father served in the Oregon House in the 1950s and 60s and also headed the Economic Development Agency. Ed was also president of the AFL-CIO and a lobbyist for PGE. Tom's acquaintance with the world of public policy literally began at Ed's knee, and it continued into his adult life. Tom followed his father's footsteps in so many ways. Both were firefighters, both were lobbyists, both were legislators. I met Tom here, beginning a 16-year journey as his wife, as his ex-wife, and always as his best friend. In this building, Tom accomplished much. As you've heard, one of his proudest achievements was the passage of the Fire Safe Cigarette Bill, which he knew would save many lives. When then Minority Leader in the House, Peter Courtney, approached Tom to consider a run for the Oregon House, Tom said, "I'd rather chew tinfoil." He was the kind of guy everyone wanted to elect to something. He was student body president at Roosevelt High School, football captain, and an unwilling leader of many other endeavors, including a stint as vice chair of the PERS board in the 1980s. Those who knew Tom best understand that it was his gentle wit that most distinguished him. Who could forget the moment on the House floor that he admonished his colleagues that you can't make chicken salad out of chicken poop? Or the time he asked the carrier of a bill to mandate phonics instructions, "Why isn't phonics spelled with an F?" I know, it's my favorite one. One-liners. Generally inspired by the episode of the moment were his specialty. He told me that's because his memory was too poor to remember long jokes. Tom was a hero to many people, not just because he saved lives for a living, though he did, and not just because he achieved so much for the greater good, though he did. It was because of the many small kindnesses that Tom's quiet, humble stock in trade. Few knew that he homeschooled my son when a middle school bullying incident became his everyday nightmare. And most are unaware of his devotion to his disabled sister. And still fewer know how many people Tom helped through the desperation of addiction, helping reclaim both their sobriety and their self-worth. The day he died was a loss for all of us who had come to know and love Tom Whalen. And when on a year ago, March 9th, his heart stopped, our hearts broke. I will conclude with this thought. Tom always said he didn't want to go part by part. a diabetic with a very unromantic view of life. He said that if talk ever turned to amputation, I was to wheel him off a bridge. A good death, he said, was one that came all at once. The good news is that he got his wish. Thank you so much for remembering this wonderful man.
Thank you both very much for those words. Any questions or comments? Okay, we appreciate it. We'll close the public hearing on SCR 12 and open the public hearing on HCR 27. Representative Comp.
And members of the committee, HCR 27 honors 2012 Oregon Women of Achievement for outstanding leadership and service to people of Oregon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. For the record, my name is Betty Comp. I serve House District 22, and it's very humbling to follow such a very wonderful presentation as the one we just heard. House CR 27 is one that I'm very fond of. It is about recognizing women. I serve on the Oregon Women's Commission. I have for the past 3 years. And it's been a joy to serve with women leaders throughout our state. We have women on the commission from Eastern Oregon and the Portland area and in the southern areas of our state. So we are a very diverse group. We have our challenges, we have our difficulties like any group, but I am here today because we are unified in this, that we want to pursue a resolution to honor women of achievement for the 2012 year. I don't have with me the amount of years that we've given in a Woman of Achievement Award. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, and yet when we get nominations with such a grand group as we did last year, we are recognizing four. And very briefly, the first one is Robin Morris Collin. She's been an inspiration to students, and they will always follow in her footsteps. She is right across the street, a current law professor at Willamette, and serves on the Sustainability Board of Higher Education, former chairperson of the Environmental Justice Task Force, and has won National Achievement Award for the United States Environmental Protection Agency. Our second person to acknowledge is Jane O'Keefe. She's a community leader and a rancher, and she is credited with saving many jobs in Lake County. She has served, too, on the Environmental Quality Commission, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, the Association of Oregon Counties. She works diligently to build consensus in all of her meetings and with her residents that she serves and her community. Gina Warren is the Vice President of Global Diversity and Inclusion at Nike and has also held executive positions at Levi Strauss as well as AT&T. She's been a leader and a champion of women in the workplace, and having founded Nike Global Women's Leadership Council, which focuses on the status of women at Nike, we frequently ask, what are your numbers, your diversity numbers? Under her guidance and leadership, Nike has been recognized for supporting women and ethnic minorities. Last but not least, Serena Stottlemyre-Wesley is an advocate with self-enhancement, a leader in the complex and exciting effort to develop coordinated care organizations, which is high on our agenda here for this session and has been. She forms those relationships that are vital in the communities and locally addressing racial and ethnic equity issues as within the healthcare system. These four women, their leadership, their hard work, their team players, and they all worked and continue to work to serve their communities and our state at the highest capacities. And I would encourage your support for House current Resolution 27.
Thank you, Representative.
Questions?
I don't believe so. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close the public hearing on HCR 27. And our final item is to open a public hearing on SCR 13. Mr. Powell.
And members of the committee, SCR 13 honors Kenneth Allen Jernstadt.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Powell, here to testify in favor of SCR 13. And just to, in one sentence, tell you what Ken Jernstadt meant to me as the youngest member of the Senate. He was one of the older. He served as a Republican. I served as a Democrat. He was a decorated military person, thanks to football. I couldn't serve in the military. So we had all kinds of differences. But in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever known a finer person than Ken Jernstadt. And if he was here, that's about all he'd say about himself. You would not know that he was one of the Flying Tigers in World War II. You would know nothing about his post-war activities of the pre-astronaut program, being in a centrifuge till he passed out, probably detached his retinas, which caused blindness in his later years, served on the Blind Commission, always trying to do something for his fellow man and woman. And he was just, as I said, probably the finest human being I've ever known. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
John, roughly what years did he serve?
60s, 69.
You don't know it'd be exactly.
It actually has it in the resolution. He served as mayor of Hood River from 59 to 61, in the House from 66 to 68, and he served in the Senate from the House in 66 and 68 in the Senate. He served here until sometime in the 80s.
Yeah, I thought it was a long
time. Yeah, a long time. But you just could, everyone liked Ken Jernstadt. As it says in the resolution, the Republicans could meet in the phone booth in the back of the room. But Ken Jernstadt was beyond being nonpartisan. He was just a member of the human race and treated everyone, I mean everyone, with the utmost respect. It just, we toured different facilities, and Ken had very tunnel vision. He put his hand on your back because he couldn't navigate too well. Never complained, never ever heard him complain about anything. And here I am, I complain to my wife every morning about just a member of the human race, beyond nationality, volunteered to go try to stop the Japanese from invading China just because he felt it was wrong, and did things like that. So I just wish that I would have been able to spend more time with him. It's one of the problems with serving in this building. We get tied up in knots, and we don't even get to know each other very well.
Yes, Representative Kenmer.
Yeah, just thank you, John, for what you had to say. I had the privilege of serving for, I'm not sure, a couple of sessions, I guess it was, with Ken in the Senate. And he was distinctively warm, caring, thoughtful, gracious, just a one-of-a-kind, very thoughtful person. And you had to like him. I had to like him. That doesn't sound quite right. But you automatically liked him. And he was about as decent as human being as there was. So, great man.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John. That was beautiful.
We'll close the public hearing on SCR 13. We're going to move all these together in a minute, but first I'm going to open a work session to introduce committee measures.
And members of the committee, we have today LC 3935. It exempts registered lobbyists from reporting to Oregon Government Ethics Commission on money spent on lobbying other registered lobbyists.
No, it's all right. Mr. Chair, I move that the following LC 3935 be introduced as a committee bill.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves LC 3935 be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, motion carries. I'm now going to open a work session on HCR 27, HCR 31, HR 4, HR 5, SCR 7, SCR 8, SCR 11, SCR 12, and SCR 13.
Mr. Chair, I move the following resolutions to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. HCR 27, do I have to read them all?
Yeah.
HCR 31, HR 4, HR 5, SCR 7, SCR 8, SCR 11, SCR 12, and SCR 13.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves that HCR 27, HCR 31, HR 4, HR 5, SCR 7, SCR 8, SCR 11, SCR 12, and SCR 13 be moved to the floor with be adopted recommendations. Is there any discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I was forced to step out for a minute, but I'd like to speak just briefly to Mr. Whalen and his nomination here. Or in memory of Tom. I served with Tom when I first came to the legislature and all the time that he was in the legislature. He certainly was everything that you heard today and then maybe just a little bit more than that. The kind of sad but interesting story that I have that went with him. I remember very clearly the smokeless or tobacco bill that was introduced. And I remember it vividly because after the first session and before the second session, when the first introduction and the session that it passed, I had my next-door neighbor. His wife was killed in a fire, and the specific reason for the start of the fire was a cigarette that got put into the garbage underneath the sink. It caused a little smoke and a little problem, and it melted the plastic off of the little spray thing that comes on a pressurized container, and that exploded, and the house was totally engulfed in flames before anybody had a chance to blink, sort of thing. So it's always been kind of one of those lasting memories that I have, and one of those things you ask yourself, "What if?" And I know we can't live with what ifs, but you can't help asking yourself anyway.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Dembrough.
Thanks, Chair Garrett. I just want to follow up on that. I just read an article from that time, which was among our materials, in which you said almost exactly the same thing, Representative Jensen. So clearly you're a man of consistency and came through exactly the same spirit. Thank you.
All right, any objection to the motion to move all of these resolutions to the floor? Hearing none, motion carries. All are moved to the floor. For HCR 27, Representative Comp will be the carrier. For HCR 31, Representative Conger. For HR 4, Representative Esquivel. For HR 5, Representative Kenny Geyer. For SCR 7, SCR 8, Representative Frederick. For SCR 11, Representative Hannah. For SCR 12, Representative Whalen. Who'd like to carry that? Representative Berger, Representative Jensen, perhaps? Either one of them.
Jensen, I think, is
clearly.
Yeah. Representative Jensen, okay, please be the carrier. And then for SCR 13, both of Representative Hoyle and Hicks are sponsors of the resolution. Anybody care to carry it?
Rock, paper, scissors. I can do it.
You can certainly incline. I'll carry
it. Yeah,
okay,
can carry
Representative
it.
Hicks
Perfect.
Will carry it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then just.
He's from Hood River, right? Now, mm-hmm.
He's on the bill as well.
Johnson?
Yeah.
Good idea.
Okay.
Representative Johnson will carry that.
And committee members, we will be having a meeting Friday morning at 8:30. We are getting ready to put out an agenda shortly. But just, I know we have not been meeting on Fridays, and this will be our first Friday meeting. So 8:30 to 9:30. I don't know what room we'll be in yet, but I will get that to you as soon as possible.
That'll be Friday at 3.
Yes.
So, without further business, committee's adjourned.